Hello, my name's Andrew. I'm an addict. Good, some people are leaving, so I'm not as nervous anymore. I'm not nervous at all, but I'm really nervous, actually. This is my first time being at a convention, and I just so happened to got asked to share by Terry. I want to thank him for asking me to share, and thank God for another day clean. And I'm from the Tri-County area. My home group is Cover to Cover on Monday nights at 7 p.m. That's part of my story is having a home group. Walking the walk for me, I don't know where to start at. I guess I'll start from the beginning. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Good. Thanks. My clean day is January 2nd, 2010. My drug of choice was more. I didn't give a fuck what it was. I didn't care what it was as long as there was more of it. At the end of my road, it was very dark and very lonely, man. My disease wants me dead, it took everything I had, including my spirit, my soul, my morals, everything. My favorite quote out of the basic text is in the Who's an Addict section, and I've read it so many times that I'm going to try to recite a couple of them without the book here, but it says that living skills were reduced to the animal level. Our capacity to feel human was lost. It says higher mental and emotional functions, such as conscience and the ability to love, were greatly affected by our disease. Many of us have been at this level. If I have any doubts, if I'm an addict, all I have to do is read that or recite it or think about it in my mind, because I know without a doubt that I should have been dead a long time ago. I should not be standing up here, carrying my message to a room full of people like y'all. Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. And I'm eternally grateful for that. Walking the walk is what am I doing at home? What do I do when I leave the meeting? Follow me home. What am I a good father? Am I a good brother? Am I a good uncle? Am I a good fiance now? I'm engaged. Just got engaged by that. She's out there somewhere. I love you, baby. I'm getting married this October. A little over 5 years ago, I was homeless with nothing, at the end of my road, my comfortable spot was in this trailer with no electricity, And I remember that shit like it was yesterday. I remember laying on that couch, and it was cold outside, and we had a kerosene heater with a little bit of kerosene in it, and I remember watching that flame get lower and lower. I'm laying on this couch that the dog slept on. It smelled like dog piss, wearing clothes that I collected over to each crack house that I went to, whatever was laying around so I could wear it. I remember watching that flame and that kerosene heater just get lower and lower. And there was nothing I could do. When that kerosene ran out and that kerosene heater, I was going to be cold as shit. And there was nothing I could do about it at that point. That was my moment of what are you going to do with your life? It's either you got a choice here. Get clean or die, My only not yet was death. That was it. I tried everything else. I experienced jails. I experienced institutions. The only thing I did not experience was death. Some of y'all have heard my story. I've been damn near close to death a lot of times. I could feel it in my bones. I could smell it. I could taste it. I was so close to being dead many times. For some reason, God seemed fit that I stayed alive. And now today, I'm finding out the reason for that. Is that so I can carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous and let people know that, if an addict like me can get clean and stay clean, then anybody can do it. I'm a big mama's boy today. I'll admit it today. My mother was my worst enabler. She enabled me so bad that it almost killed me. And it's only because she loved me. It wasn't until that little string, that last little string that I had that was attached to my mom. And when she cut that string, that's when I had to make that choice. I can remember, I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to say, I want help. Can you please help me? I'm ready to get help. I had to ask for something. I had to ask for something for me. Something materialistic, whatever it was. I remember calling her, I hadn't spoke to her in 6 months. She didn't even know if I was alive. And that was a normal thing for her, today I can only imagine how that felt having a daughter of my own. I can only imagine how that felt. But you know, I called her and asked her to bring me a pack of cigarettes. She's like, "Well, I'm glad to know you're alive." You know, and so she brought me down the cigarettes, of course, because she always said yes. I'm her baby boy, and my sister actually drove her down there to me, and to bring me the cigarettes. And my sister, we were real close growing up. You know, when I went my way, she went to college and graduated college and all that other stuff. And she didn't even look over at me when they came down there. You know, and I'm glad she didn't. You know what I'm saying? Because I was a mess. And my nephew, he was like maybe 1 year old at the time, and he was in the back seat in the car seat. And so they pulled away and left. So I said, "Mom, can you please call me so we can talk? You know, I just want to talk," trying to weasel my way back into her house, trying to get, you know, a couple good meals, nice clean shower, and, you know, a couple dollars for a pack of cigarettes, you know what I'm saying, or something, or something, some food for the house that I was staying at or some shit like that. And, you know, I remember I had this prepaid cell phone, and I always kept at least a text message package on that phone so the dope man could get a hold of me if he wanted me to, you know, wash his car or put a system in his car or steal something or whatever, you know. And that phone never rang. My mom never called me. And I remember that was the time in my life where I was like, the woman that gave birth to you doesn't want anything to do with you. Like what the hell is wrong with you? You know, and I had to ask for help. And like my dad and his wife, my stepmom, they had already been done with me. They washed their hands of me a long time ago. They said, "Unless you want to get help, don't even come around here. Do not come to our house." And so I called them and got help. And went to me. I had some, they call it abstinence before this experience here, because I don't even claim the clean time, because I didn't get any key tags. I didn't even get the white key tag. I said, "I'm not even going to get it." I came, sat in the back of the room, got my meeting slip signed, and then sit like 4 months clean. I don't even know how I made it that far. Like, on the way to a meeting one day, I pulled into a crack house instead of going to a meeting. And, like, it almost killed me. You know, it took, 10 years later, you know, I come back into the room of Narcotics Anonymous, and my sponsor calls it the gift of desperation. I had that gift. I was beaten, my ass was whooped, and I could not take the pain any longer. I couldn't do it. And so, like, I had to make that decision. And that's when my journey began. So I got into treatment, and I went into a long 28-day program, and went into a long-term treatment facility. And that's where, like, you know, because 28 days was not nowhere near long enough for me to get the shit out, you know, get my life like halfway together or anything. It was just long enough to get the dope out of my system. And so I went to the long-term treatment facility, and I'm gonna back up. I skipped a really important part of my story, but back when I was in a 28-day program, you know how, I'm sure we've all been in treatment facilities, but if not, let me explain to you. You have like these meetings, and meetings at the end of the night, around 7 o'clock or something like that, you can just hope and pray that somebody comes through the outside door to bring a meeting into your rehab facility. And if not, you're sitting there listening to the same story that you've heard 30 times from the people that you're in the rehab with. You pick a topic, and I'm like, man, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I gotta listen to these people share their story one more time. I've already heard all this shit. Y'all ain't got no more clean time than me. What the hell y'all got to help me with? You know? And we got the meeting all set up. It passed the basket of topics around and everything. About that time, two guys walked through that door from the outside. And the guy that walked through that door, I used to get high with. And like, I hadn't seen him, he like disappeared. And when he came in the door, I was like, there's no way. Like, I thought he was dead. And he came in, and he had like 3 years clean. And he was coming in, bringing a meeting in with H&I. I'll never forget it. And it's special to me, because that's like the first time that I ever had any hope for myself in my life. Because this guy, let me tell y'all, this guy, when we partied, he was the kind of guy that, when, you know, he had always had money because he kept a job. And I was a guy that was around because I had the connects. And he partied so hard that I just knew this guy was going to fall out on the floor dead at any minute. I was scared the whole time I was partying with him, because I didn't want to have to call or take him to drop him off at the hospital or something, because he's dead, you know what I'm saying? And to see him come through that door with 3 years clean, it changed my whole life. Like, just seeing him, and like, needless to say, he's my sponsor today. Yeah. And like, when he came to that door, that feeling of hope. You know, that's what this program is about. You know, it's about attraction. And what he had, I was attracted to it. I wanted that. And I was, at that point in my life, I was willing to do whatever the fuck it took to get what he had. And so the journey began with me and my sponsor. And like, the first thing he did was have me work at Steps. And I can't express to y'all, like, if you're new and you don't, if you haven't got a sponsor and started working some Steps, like, please do. Because, like, without me, I believe that without me working the Steps with my sponsor and finding out who I really am, like, I wouldn't have made it to, like, 3 days clean, much less, you know, over 5 years today. The Steps introduced me to me. I had no clue who I was. All I had a clue was, well, I knew who you guys were, who everybody else was. And all I could do was try to be like you. You know what I'm saying? But the Steps introduced me and taught me how to be me. And, you know, they taught me that all the shit that happened to me, all the shit that I've done to other people, all the stuff that I've, you know, thought about doing to other people, it's, you know, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to carry that shit around with me anymore. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just extremely grateful to be here in Ocean City. Like, I was at my hotel room this morning. And I like got up early as shit, could not sleep. I was thinking about what I was gonna say here today, in my sleep. I was like dreaming about it. And I called my sponsor before I came in here, and he's like, man, all that shit's going out the window. Don't even play. You know what I'm saying? It don't even matter what you were trying to think about or whatever. But all that stuff is going out the window when you get up there. You know, just let God speak through you. And and that's what happens every time I get up in front, you know, and I get up and share. But I got involved with H&I and try to get back to the program, you know, what was given to me. And, like, that instance of my sponsor coming in the meeting or bringing a meeting in there, like, I try to give back to that to other people because that was, like, without that, you know, I don't know if I'd be here today. And so I was with H&I for, like, about 3 years, I think. And I stepped down and let some other people take meetings in. But every time I went there and I saw people there quite often that I knew, that I used to use with or that knew me from, you know, meetings that had gone back out and made it back into rehab, luckily. And, you know, that's all I can do is try to give back to this program what was freely given to me. And, but like, am I walking the walk or am I just talking the talk? You know what I'm saying? And, I had a guy in my network that he doesn't call me. Like, he'll call me. Like, he knows my number. He'll call me if he has a question or whatever. But he doesn't call me like that. We don't talk that much. And I'm in the car. We're actually all piled in the car getting ready to pull out of my driveway. Getting ready to come here. And my phone rings. And I answer the phone. And he's like, Andrew. His name's Rob. He's like, this is Rob. Y'all might know him as Rob. Some people know him from my tri-county here. But anyway. He's like, you know why you were chosen to speak on that topic at the workshop? And I was like, no, why? He was like, because you're a perfect example of what walking the walk for Narcotics Anonymous is. And like, I didn't even know what to say to it. I didn't know what to say. But I know it felt good. You know what I'm saying? And like, I don't think I'm perfect by any means, but like, you know, it just feels good to know that, like, you know, what this program has taught me, I'm actually living it. You know, I'm not just talking about it, I'm doing it. You know, and what was that about the hotel room? Laying on my hotel room bed, looking out at the ocean this morning, and that's some beautiful stuff, man. That's beautiful, and I'm surrounded by God when I'm out in nature and like outside, outdoors, and like I saw some people walking on the beach, and I saw them come out, and I saw them hug for a couple seconds, you know, and all I thought was like, man, this whole area is filled with love this weekend. Yeah. You know, I can just feel it everywhere, and I don't know. So I got clean. I got a sponsor. I was going to meetings. I got a service position. I was doing that because that's what was suggested to me. If I wanted to stay clean, this is what you have to do. If you don't want to stay clean, don't do it. You know. And so I did what was suggested. I got a sponsor. Went to meetings. Got a service position. Got a home group. And like, I'm getting the results today. You know. Like I said, I got engaged the week before Valentine's Day, and we're getting married this October. You know, I have a 3.5-year-old daughter that I have full custody of. You know, 5.5 years ago, or a little over 5 years ago, thank God she never had to see me use because she's only 3. So after I got clean, I had her. But you know, I couldn't be any type of father. You know, I couldn't be anything, and I didn't even know how to live. Period. But Narcotics Anonymous taught me how to live, one day at a time. Just don't pick up no matter what. I don't care how bad it gets. I heard it said, you know, that like nothing is worth me changing this in or hit a crack, shot of dope, nothing, you know. And I remember the pain that I went through, because I don't ever want to be crawling around the floor again looking for some shit to smoke. I don't want to do that today, you know. I don't have to today. You know, what I have to do today is like give love to the people that love me unconditionally, you know. And Narcotics Anonymous is full of those people. And I heard it said that this one of the home group that I had before this one, this guy came down from the D.C. area, and I don't know, he might even be here. I don't even know. I can't remember the guy's name or whatever, but this one thing he said, and I always try to share it, because it makes me think about life, about how this program works. And he said, this is the only disease known to man that if the treatment doesn't work, it's the patient's fault. I'll say it again. This is the only disease known to man that if the treatment doesn't work, it's the patient's fault. I can't blame it on the doctor. I can't blame it on a therapist. I can't blame it on the psychiatrist. If my program doesn't work for me, it's my fault. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't do the work. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know about you. I ain't no doctor or psychiatrist or therapist out there that can help me. Only thing that I found that can help me is Narcotics Anonymous. That's it. And the 12 steps and my sponsor and my network. That's it. It's like, I don't know. It didn't matter. I was going to either die from a direct result of this disease, overdose or something like that, or one of them 30 people that I owed money to or robbed was going to find my ass and kill me. You know? So fear was a great motivating factor for me to get up in here. You know what I'm saying? That or, you know, or go to prison. I don't want to go to prison. I've been to jail, you know, but I've never been to the big boy prison. You know, and I don't want to go up there and beat somebody's bitch. You know what I'm saying? Honestly. But, you know, but that was the reality of my disease. Like, I was scared to death. I was scared of me. I was scared of my own shadow. I didn't even want to go outside, man. You know, but today, guess what? I go outside. I enjoy life. You know, I go fishing with people in the program. You know what I'm saying? I go hunting. When I'm outside, I'm closest to my God. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, just like little things in life, man. Like, if I see an eagle, if I see a hawk, you know, if I got to stop and look at it, like, it makes me feel at peace. You know what I'm saying? And, I don't know, I'm about to run out of stuff to talk about. But, like, I can just say that I am extremely grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because it saved my life. And it continues to save my life every single day that I don't pick up. You know, and, like I said, an addict like me, crackhead like me, a dope fiend like me, I should have been dead a long time ago, you know. And but I've had a great time so far since I've been here, and I'm looking forward to like spending, you know, some more time with more recovering addicts. And I don't know, I'm extremely grateful, man, and I'm gonna try to remain that way, you know, because gratefulness, I've been taught that gratefulness is the seed for more, you know. And as long as I remain grateful, then more will come to me. You know, and more good stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say that everything's been great since I've been clean. I've been through a lot of hard shit, you know. My grandfather passed away, you know. My daughter's mother and I had this crazy split up, you know, and she chose to use drugs when I was trying to be clean in my house. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you can't do that shit here. You got to go. I don't care if you're the daughter of my mother, whoever you are, you got to go. I can't be around you. And, you know, she's got to grow up still, and I hope she does one day, you know. But right now, my daughter's safe with me, you know, and my fiance, and like, you know, God is good, man. That's all I can say. But I don't know. But thanks for having me here, and thanks for letting me share. I'm out of time.